here today. I'm going to begin today waxing prophetically, I guess to say, and I can guarantee it's correct, that we today are 7 days closer to the return of the Lord than we were last Sunday morning when we started. And the King is coming. He's on his way. And today, as we look into the book of Daniel, we're going to attempt to pull this all together, even though we only accomplished going through 5 chapters of 12. We're going to move to the back, look at 12. We're going to have to move into 10 and 11 a little bit just to pull things together. But hopefully, we'll be able to do that here in the remaining time that we have this morning. I'd like to ask you a question, though, to begin. How are we, in a sense, unlike Daniel in his situation? How are we unlike him? So we're going to get to the other side of that in just a moment. What do we have that he did not? Oh, hey, freedom, yeah. We had the Word of God. He had the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit we have. Oh, Christ is risen. He only could look forward to this. We are on the other side of that, of the Lord coming. The Messiah came. So we're witnesses of that. We're experiencing that life and that side of the cross on this side. But how are we like him? Then we're unlike him in that way. We have an advantage. We know so much more about his account of him redeeming his people, building his church, and soon the return. But how are we like him? Okay, we're visitors. He was a stranger living in a land that wasn't his. He was not a citizen of Babylon. But he had to live there, and he had to serve God there, and live out his days there. And so, are we not the same? We're not citizens of this place. We are citizens of heaven, and we are on our way through. We too are aliens, strangers, pilgrims. And there should be a difference in what the world sees of us, as they saw in Daniel. He was different because he knew his God, and his God was the God, not all the false gods that they were worshiping. So there's a difference. We'll get to that a little bit later today about being light. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to chapter 12 and put your finger there of Daniel. But I'm going to begin. I'd like us to begin, though. Keep your finger there in chapter 12. And look back at chapter 9. Because this is Daniel's heart. We want to set the stage here for this last chapter, because we have to see where he's coming from to this point in his life. Remember, Daniel is an old man now. He's been there a long time, as we'll read in this passage. And so he is reflecting, and he's also, we're going to see how he feels about his people in this. I'm going to just read, again, I don't like to do this, I like to have someone else, but it just works better here in this setting. But so beginning in verse 1 of chapter 9 of Daniel, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books. Interesting, the books. He had the prophecies of those before him. He said, I observed in the books the number of years which was revealed at the word as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So here he is saying, oh, we're at the end. 70 years, and he was studying, and he saw that. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O God, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. And then jump down, if you would, to verse 19. Oh, hear, Lord. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, listen and take action. For your own sake, oh my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. And we see this intercessory prayer of Daniel praying for his people. It's amazing. And he's recounting it, acknowledging why they're there, why they've been cast out of the city. We have sinned, and we've acted wickedly, and we didn't listen. And so here we are. But now, Lord, the 70 years are over. Act now. And so we see this is his heart, and he's looking forward to the people returning, in which leads us then further in back into chapter 12. So let's take a look. We'll begin at chapter 12. With that in mind, I have a subheading in my Bible for chapter 12. It says, The Time of the End. So at that time, now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. We'll stop there. First of all, we need to know who's speaking here. So we have to look back. Go back to chapter 10, because again, you cannot do 12 without looking back a little bit. In chapter 10, in verse 13, well, we'll start up, we'll go up to verse, I want to make sure we get, we'll go up to verse 2. We'll get to that. We're going to get to that eventually, but I'm going to also do it now. In those days, this is verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. On the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked. Behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body was also like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see this vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone with, and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me. For my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sounds of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. This is the beginning of the dialogue that's going to carry us into 12. And he has this vision, and he's been fasting and praying about what he had just prayed about, that we read. So who is he seeing here? What's this vision? Jesus? Is it a Christophany? Is he showing up again? I'd like us to compare. Go to Revelation, if you would. Chapter 1. This is the Apostle John, exiled on the island of Patmos. He has this vision. And he said, and there is, he's given the command to write these things down to the churches. And look at verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe reaching to his feet. Think about what we just read in Daniel. With it girded with a across his chest with a golden sash, his head and his hair were white like wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like that a sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars out, and his out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And look at the reaction. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." So here we see this same Jesus show up in, when he spoke to John. Here now he is with Daniel, speaking about what was to take place. And so he had this vision. But now, let's move on. And back in chapter 12, keep your finger in 10 because we're going to go back and forth there. He said, "There, the great prince who stands guard will arise, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued." Going back, we see here in verse 10 of chapter 10, as he's laying on the ground, prostrate and almost unconscious, "A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said, 'O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you, and stand upright, for I've now been sent to you.' And when he had been spoken to me this word, I stood up trembling." Now here's where things get interesting a little bit. He just sees this vision of Christ standing there, but now this hand reaches down and touches him, and in the commentary that I looked at, that this is not Christ's hand. It is an angel that is going to be doing the speaking to him, because he's able to speak to him, but he couldn't in Christ's presence. Again, there's a lot of back and forth about the angel speaking and who the Lord is, and it could get confusing, even as Daniel mentioned that later on in chapter 12 about being confused. But anyway, this is the commentary that I had, that Matthew Henry said that this is an angel now speaking to him. And he's now about to, I'm about to tell you what is to take place. Don't be afraid, because I'm going to speak with you. So he said, let's go back to chapter 12 again and see what he has to say. He said, "There will come a time of distresses never occurred since a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who's found, will be rescued." What is going to take place? Where else in Scripture could we maybe get a depiction of some of the things that are going to happen at this end time? Anybody think of a passage in the New Testament? How about Matthew? How about Matthew 24? Yeah, let's turn there just for a moment. Just look at one verse in Matthew 24. Jesus is speaking about the end times. This is what it's going to be like, he said. Be ready for this. Be ready for his coming is actually one of the subheadings in the part of that chapter. But Matthew 24, 21. "There will be," this is Jesus speaking, "but there will be a great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will be." And it goes on into details like that. So we see that's time being referenced here back to Daniel too. Daniel, this is what's going to happen. And everyone who's found written in the book is going to be rescued. What book? Book of Life. Flip back to Daniel 7, because it's actually mentioned there. 7:10. Um, This is talking about the Ancient of Days reigning when God sits on his throne to judge, verse 10 of chapter 7 of Daniel. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him, the Lord. Thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. The court sat, and the books were open. So God is a bookkeeper. He has books, and he has names in those books. And so here Daniel is giving that information, saying that the books are going to be opened. And turn to Revelation 20, and we'll take a look at that. This is comforting to those who know Christ, but very uncomfortable for those who do not. Revelation 20, 11, 15. Well, just this is very familiar to you, but again, this is what Daniel was being told. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Verse 15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the fire. So this is yet to happen, but Daniel was getting a glimpse of this even way back in his day. So we can take comfort in that knowing that God is at work, and this will be accomplished as we see what he's accomplishing in Daniel's day. Looking at now, in verse 2 of chapter 12, many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. So what event is being spoken of here? Many who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life. That's the rapture. God's going to bring those up. And we'll look at one New Testament passage and one Old Testament that speaks to that. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would. 1 Thessalonians 5. And there's other references that speak to that. In verses 1 to 3, now as the times and epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night, and while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like the labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But then he goes on to talk about, verse 10, those who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him, and we will be caught up, and talks of that in another passage. But I want you to take a look at Isaiah 26, which I think is pretty exciting. Even back in Isaiah's day, he spoke of this. Isaiah 26. Verse 19 and following. Your dead will live, their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed, and you will no longer cover her slain. So we see this, your dead will live, your corpses will rise. So it's spoken of in Isaiah's day. Daniel's getting is being told this too, and it moves into the New Testament as well. So we can take God at his word. This is going to happen. Now, verse 3. Now we're getting to application. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. How should this verse affect our witness? Keep at it. I like that. Yeah. Let your light shine before men. I'll share a conviction with you that this week that has really spoken. The Lord spoke to me about this. It's something, Steve, that you said about the pastor in Ukraine. What was his name again? Sergei. When he was being beaten by that. Oh, Sasha, the one that was beaten. Okay, yes. While he was being beaten by that Russian guard, and the Russian guard says, "I hate who? Evangelical Christians." And we talked about that. Jesus said, well, we referenced that earlier in the week, that Jesus said, don't be surprised if the world hates you, it hated me. But the thing that brought conviction to me was, he said, evangelical Christians. Are there any other kind? Only by name. Could if there's evangelical Christians, if he qualified that that's who he hated, could there be non-evangelical Christians that he didn't? Oh, okay. And what does that mean as far as, why would he hate evangelical believers and non-evangelical? I don't. Is that an oxymoron almost in a way? Not evangelical Christian? But again, just the great conviction is that many, we can say the Orthodox, but I think I'm guilty of that. That I don't speak the gospel like I should. There's a lot of really nice people that are Christians, and you talk to their neighbors who don't know Christ, and they'll say, they're really nice people. We really like them because they really do nice things. But again, am I sharing Christ? Because that's what caused the hatred, was the message of the gospel. And you'll get one or two responses usually. And again, so I just, that really has been playing upon me, is like, how many of us are non-evangelical Christians? Just a thought. You can chew on that. I have been. And I'm guilty of not being as evangelical as I should be, being more non than in some cases. Anyway, let's move on. Okay, we're going down now to verse 4 of chapter 12. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. So to conceal the words, seal it up till the end of time. So it's apparently not for Daniel's time. So we know it's something that's going to happen. But what does he mean by that at the end, many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase?
People will never travel like they do today. And with the computer age, there's so much knowledge available to any one of us by computer.
Okay.
In the past, that was not true.
Okay, so we're just talking about modern day today. I think some versions say, does anyone have a version that says that many will move back and forth across the face of the earth? Because I read that in one version. That move back and forth across, and we do that today. They sure weren't doing it in Daniel's day, but I think it's more refined point than just that about knowledge in general. But it will be a seeking of God's word. There'll become a hunger for it, and many will go everywhere to seek to find it towards the end of this end of time. So again, and knowledge has increased. I mean, as far as the availability of it, and we have God's whole counsel here. We have His Word, which Daniel didn't have. And again, like we said, we're on this side of the cross. We have that knowledge now. So there's so much more. So knowledge will abound, but yet that hunger for God's Word will also increase at this end time. And many will search everywhere for it. And they will get it. They will grow. Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Well, he already knew Him, didn't he? But he said, I want to know. Keep knowing. There's so much more to know about our Savior and Lord. So that's what we're to be striving to do, to be one of these who go back and forth and increase in knowledge. of the word, God's word. So what would be some of the indicators then at this end time? I'd like us to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, just to set the stage for what is to come and maybe what things will be like, and drop some parallels. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. That was predicted, was it not, in Daniel's vision? But here's some details about those difficult times, what the things will be like. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then this verse, talking about maybe the non-evangelicals, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Wow. Draw any parallels to today? Many of these have gone on forever, but it sure seems to be being a little more concentrated now, and this is what we're seeing out there. So we're called to be light in this darkness that we see there that we just read of. So let's move on now to verses 5 and 6 of Daniel 12. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others were standing, one on this bank of the river, and then the other on that bank of the river. And the one said to the man dressed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be until these wonders? So we have two angels, one on one bank, one on the other, and this man dressed in linen is who? That's Jesus, yes. And again, the Christophany. And it's referenced back in those earlier chapters that in this vision. So he is the man dressed in linen, and now he's going to speak, because the two angels are saying to one another, and again, this Jesus above the waters of the river, how long will it be until the end of these wonders? I'm going to take a look at some of these things that reference this one dressed in linen. Got so many passages. Matthew 14:25. Referencing Jesus. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus said to them, "Take courage, do not be afraid, it's me." He's walking on the water. Here he is above the water. So we see them in several other instances that we see this happening with the water. Again, he's asked this question, how long? Will this question be asked again? How long? How long will it be, Lord? I want you to turn, if you would, to Revelation 12:14. Hold your finger in there once you get there. You're going to need more fingers. And go to Matthew 24. Again, I'll do Matthew 24, first verse 3. He was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, because he was talking about his return, he said, "Tell us when these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" So, when, Lord? How long? It's a very common question. And in Revelation 12:14, But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman. This is the vision, so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for the time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And so we see that again. We're going to look at that time, times, and half again. But how long? A very common question. And so we are not wrong in asking that. It's not a bad thing. The people under the altar in Revelation, we won't turn there, they said, how long, Lord, until you recompense those evil ones who have martyred us? In verse 7, back in chapter 12 of Daniel, I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, excuse me, and as he raised his right hand and his left toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever, that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. Does anybody know what the time, times, and half a time equate to? 3.5 years, yes. And again, this is at that the times of the end in the tribulation. And so there will be a horrific time, and it's going to be for 3.5 years. And what is the action that will determine the end? He says at the very end of that statement, as soon as they what? Till the people are broken, God's people, till the holy people are broken. So we do know that there is persecution coming. And again, the Lord is telling us that. And it's and then when it does happen, it's going to be that long. And now some say, again, I'm not going to get into the whole discussion of the rapture, when it's going to take place, because we have pre-trib, we have mid-trib, we have post-trib. I don't want to take a survey to see who's where, but we do know what's going to happen. We know that it's going to be, and the church is going to be taken out and be spared. But I don't want to get into that today as to when that exactly will be, but we do know that there is going to be some horrific times such as never happened before. Now, verse 8. How does Daniel respond to this message? In verse 8. As for me, I heard, but could not understand. So I said, my Lord, what will the outcome of these events be? What will be the outcome of these events? It's okay to say, I don't understand. Daniel said, I don't understand exactly what's going on. But if you take a look at, and God knows that, take a look at Isaiah 55, because God speaks to that very thing. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declare the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So it's okay, Daniel, not to understand everything, but to trust. And it, more than anything, I think we struggle more with chronology as to when things are going to happen and so on. And we talk about the millennial reign of Christ and all of those things. And I heard once stated, like, I'm a pan-millennialist. And that means it'll all pan out in the end. And God is working his plan. And it will be exactly as he has planned it and to the moment of all these things. And we just have to be found faithful. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Be found working when he comes. He's going to come when you don't expect him, but we're just called to be at work, being light in this darkness, being the witness to him, serving, using our spiritual gifts that God has given us, and he'll come, and we just need to be ready. He said in verse 10, back in Daniel 12, many will be purged, purified, and refined. But the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. But those who have insight will understand. Who's he talking about there? In 10, There are many will be purged, purified, and refined. The church, us. And what do we call that process of him refining us? Sanctification. And he said that's what's going to happen. He's telling Daniel, many will be purged, purified, refined, but the wicked will keep on acting wickedly. Take a look at Zechariah chapter 13. I'll give you a moment. Zechariah 13. Verse 9. He's speaking of his people here specifically, but he said, I will bring a third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name, I will answer them. They will say, I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. That's what he's after. He's looking for a people that will say that. You are my God. And then his response is, I'll say, they are my people. They will be accepted. What will the rest of the world be acting like according to that verse while this refining process is going on? Go back to Revelation 22. Verse 11. I'll read verse 10 with it. This is the final words in Revelation. Revelation 22:10. He said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Interesting what he tells Daniel. Seal it up. Because it's not near. But now in Revelation, to John, he's saying, don't seal it up. The time is near. But look at 11. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. The one who is holy still keep himself holy. There's that divide. And it's spoken of here in back in Daniel chapter 12. The wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. Unless God opens a heart, they don't understand. They're deaf and blind. They cannot hear or see and understand, and they'll continue in their life and style until the Lord comes again. So, to wrap this up, we will see, he talks of a timeline again, verse 11, from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished until the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. Again, time frames, we're not going to get into that this morning. A lot of things that are going to happen. Again, but I like the how specific it is when he says 1,290 days, 1,335 days. Just all through Scripture. Look at those specific things given. Even in the prophets, they give the dates in the this month and this day and so on. That just gives truth to it. It actually happens. It gives it a historical content and not a fantasy. It really happened, and we can check those dates and so on. And when God does things, he does them by the day. We looked at a couple references to that. But we'll close with verse 13. He's talking to Daniel. But as for you, Daniel, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. He said, go your way. What does that mean? But until you die, continue serving me. Keep working. Remember, he's in this pagan country. He's working. He's held in high esteem by his captors. And the Lord's telling him, because he would like probably here to say, well, you get to go back too. And he's like, no, you just keep doing what you're doing. Be my witness here until your end of your time. I want to close with just a few verses here to look up. Isaiah 57. I love these two verses. Isaiah 57. Verses 1 and 2. The righteous man perishes and no man takes it to heart, and devout men are taken away, while no one understands. For the righteous man is taken away from evil. He enters into peace. They rest in their beds, each one who walked in his upright way. Beautiful verses. Go to Acts chapter 7. We see an example of this happening. What we just read of. Acts chapter 7. This is the account of Stephen. Verses 59 and 60. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. Believers die differently than non-believers. We fall asleep. And this is what, there's an example of that. And then Isaiah talks about them enter into peace and resting on their beds. And one last passage, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 6 to 8. This is Paul speaking at the end of his life as well, as we see Daniel approaching the end of his, and the comforting words that are given to Daniel, and go your way in you to the end of your days. But Paul said in verse 6 of 2 Timothy 4, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Great promise. We all have that promise. That he said, and can we say at the end, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. That term... There's another term for that that Jesus uses in Revelation when his letters to the churches. What does he always say, the bottom line in those letters to the seven churches? To him who, what? To him who overcomes? There's other terms used for that, but he who overcomes, and that he gives these promises of eternal life in different ways, he says it, but to him who overcomes, and I've often wondered like that, is that something, effort on my part? That I have to be the overcomer, that I have to keep my faith? But he said he would hold me and keep me. But the overcoming, what I believe is, keep believing. No matter what my circumstances, remember we talked earlier about don't let your circumstances dictate your theology. And I think that's what that overcoming means. Well, keep believing no matter what goes on around me. And crazy things are going to start happening, as we see around us in the world today. But what we're called to is to be faithful, to keep believing. Keep believing in him, even when things don't make sense. As Daniel said, I don't understand this. And there's things that maybe go on around us that we don't understand either. But like Daniel, we can rest assured with the same promise that God gave him, he gives to us. Be overcomers. Go your way, do your work, as he's called you to do, until he comes for you personally or comes for all of us at once, whenever that happens. Again, that's what we're called to do. So with that, we'll close. Tim, would you close us in prayer today, please?